Well, here's the news from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be afraid. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anybody because they were afraid. Well, here's your Easter mantra this year. Repeat after me. We already know the outcome. Thank you. Very good. That'll come up again. Well, March Madness basketball is still on for some of us fans, at least. And you know that all of us are somewhat superstitious, you know, when it comes to our beliefs. And we can be, even though we're good Christians, we can be kind of pagan when it comes to sports, you know. Well, this last week, Emily reminded me of her. So we were watching the DVR'd version of the Badgers, Wisconsin Badgers game when they were playing Arizona in the Elite Eight. And we had been at a church thing, so we had DVR'd it to watch it later. And in the middle of the game, Emily looked over at me, she smiled, and she says, "Isn't it great watching the game after the fact? Because you already know the outcome." So it came from her. Yeah, and it reminded me of her superstition, which is she doesn't watch the game. She waits till it's over. She hides out somewhere in the house, and then when she hears a score, then she'll come and watch all the playback, you know. Because she believes that her team is more likely to win if she doesn't watch the game when it's live. Isn't that nuts? My superstition is a little bit different. I get to yell at the television and telepathically send messages to the team and to the coaches about what they ought to be doing and what play to do next. And it's not my fault if they don't always hear me, guys. I mean, I'm a little humble about that, you know. I'm not in control of all that. But I came to a new awareness of Emily's superstition when she said, "Isn't it great that we already know the outcome?" Because it struck me that statement is really at the heart of the Easter message, isn't it? Say it again with me. We already know the outcome. Whether it's a basketball game or the game of life, the game of the entire development of the universe, the world around us, isn't it great to watch? When we already know the outcome. When you know your team has already won, when you know the outcome of the game before it's over, what difference does it make? Well, it takes all the anxiety out of it, doesn't it? You get to relax and enjoy the game more. It makes it fascinating. You watch for the highlights, you know? You watch where are the turning points of the game? How does it all play out, you know? And you know, however things appear at times like the other team is winning, you know better. Because you know it's just going to get worked out and you're curious about that. And you can watch for the strategies. Who made what play at what time to turn the corner and move the game forward? Where there were errors and missed points. And you can be curious and learn a lot about how the coaches led the team on the way. But you don't have to be so anxious and upset, right? Because whatever the ups and downs of the game of basketball, the game of life, the game of this world in which we live, the frustrating moments, the amazing moments, the agonizing moments, the thrilling moments, say it with me, we already know the outcome. That's right. We know that in all things, regardless of appearances, to the contrary, in our lives and in the course of the world, in all things, God wins. His is the victory. And it's all good. Beginning with that resurrection of the crucified Christ, what's God's winning outcome? It's this, that sin, death, and the power of the devil are defeated. And between now and the end of time, we're simply in the mop-up phase of things. That's what we're in right now, the mop-up phase, where all that's broken is being made whole and being restored. Like Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, the French theologian, said, we're moving toward the omega point, the point of convergence where all things are under God's reign, finally and completely, when life is whole and peace reigns supreme. That's where we're headed, in our individual lives and in the whole created universe. And in fact, anything that could possibly come between us and God, now or in eternity, has already been defeated. The victory is won in this death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in that victory, that's the turning point of the game, see? This resurrection day is the turning point, the hinge point of history. Because at this point, we become clear God is creating a new heavens and a new earth, like the book of Revelation to John tells us, the last book of the Bible. All of heaven and earth, all of humanity are in this process of being redeemed, restored to life abundant, to life in the stream of God's goodness and mercy, now and beyond our death. How cool is that? This is a great way to study how it all plays out. You know, when you look at the history of the church over 2,000 years, it's kind of interesting because this is God's team. Yeah, that's us, God's team, and we're 2,000 years old as God's team, beginning with this morning, because we have this history of those witnesses to the resurrection. Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians when he said, 500 people plus ate with, talked with, touched this risen Jesus. They saw him, they spent time with him before he ascended into heaven. And we're going to hear from some of those witnesses in this 50 days of Easter, by the way. Each Sunday, we'll hear about that. And one of the things we're going to hear about is how joy was a central theme to their resurrection walk. And we even hear today in our first reading that we haven't read at this service, how there were conflicts in the church on various issues. Can you imagine? All the way from the beginning, conflicts. And in this instance, it was about who's going to be welcomed into the church and who's not. This was Peter. And bless his heart, he and the Jewish Christians back in Jerusalem weren't so sure that you could let non-Jews into the church, right? Well, we know how that one turned out, don't we? We know that Peter had a vision from God and Paul challenged him. And before long, the gospel spread all over the world. Otherwise, us Gentiles wouldn't even be sitting here today, would we? Those of us Gentiles sitting here. It spread through the whole world. And that should settle the score for the church at all times about who belongs here. Amen? All are welcome. And unfortunately, we still struggle with that, don't we? Sometimes we do. Bless our hearts, some of our brothers and sisters who still are trying to decide who should be included and who should be left out. Well, we don't have to sweat about that. Guess what? God wins, and it includes everybody. That settles the score. We know how it's going to turn out. We see the direction God's taking things toward, this convergence of all things. So instead of being anxious and bent out of shape about it, we get to be curious about how God's going to work that one out, you know? And who he will use, how he will use you to work things out at various turns in our history as his team. You know, you could even look back at the 45 years that Lord of Life has been in existence out of these 2,000 years of history we share. And you go, wow, remember when we went through that? Wow, how do we get through that? Isn't it amazing how God works things out? Amazing. When you didn't think it would even happen, huh? In faith, we know that God wins. God always wins. Appearances of the contrary, God always wins. But you know what? Sometimes we forget what we know. We already know the outcome. And since we know that in the death and resurrection of Jesus, nothing anymore has the power to separate us from the love of Christ, why do we get so bent out of shape sometimes, huh? We do. About things going on in our own lives, in the life of the church, the world. We already know the outcome. Why should we worry about how we're going to survive, for instance, or how we're going to succeed in a challenging economy? I mean, Do we need to pay attention to those? Yes. But do we have to get all bent out of shape? No. Why do we put so much priority in getting our kids to the top of the list of everything as if it was all up to us how their lives turned out? Why do we doubt sometimes and wonder if we can survive this or that crisis in our life? Or this loss that you go, I don't think I can ever live past this loss of this loved one that I've lost. Why do we wonder about that? When we know that in all things, from the perspective of God's history, in all things God works together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, Paul says to us. God always wins. It might look to you like the current battle you're in God isn't winning, but God is winning the war, let me tell you. And so the stuff we all worry about, it'll all get worked out as well. And when we get to heaven, I think a lot of us are just going to be saying, my goodness, why did I get so bent out of shape about that thing back in 2015? You know, it all got worked out. God had it in hand all along. Why couldn't I just see that? So in the meantime, in the light of the Easter morning, say it with me, we already know the outcome. So we can really spend our lives more at ease, you know? Certainly about our own death and what follows it, but also about our life and how it's going to get played out, and overall how God's plan of redemption is going to be at work in this whole world, in us, through us. And we just get to be curious about how the game is going to get played out, including how he's going to use your efforts as a player on his team, the church. Because in this good news of Easter, we are assured God has a final word, God always wins, and it's all good. So isn't it a great thing, like Emily says, repeat after me, we already know the outcome. Praise be to God.